Good evening. My name is Alex Steinberg. I'm the pro tem chair of the Pacifica National Board. I'm convening the meeting of the Pacifica National Board in March.
Somebody needs to mute.
Yeah, can whoever is on the call there, please mute.
Ralph in.
Thank you. It's March 5th, 2020, and the time is 8:42 p.m. Eastern time right now. And I would like to ask our pro tem secretary, Grace Aaron, to take the role.
Yes. Grace Aaron is here. Robin Collier, Chris Corey, Bill Crozier.
Here.
Okay. Rhonda Garner, Donald Goldmacher, Dan Goodman.
Here.
Sabrina Jacobs, Molly James, Wayne Lark.
Present.
Okay. Martha Peterson, Ron Pinchback.
Here.
Okay. Ralph Pointer.
Here.
Okay. Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
Okay. Sean Rhodes.
Here.
Okay. Eileen Rosen.
Here.
Okay. Mansour Sabah.
How's there?
Okay. James Sagerton.
Here.
Okay. Nancy Sorden. Nancy Sorden. Alex Steinberg.
Present.
Okay. Tom Voorhees. All right. I'll count this up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Mr. Chair, there are 12 members present. Have a quorum.
Thank you. And before we get into the business of the meeting, I would just like to reiterate a few rules of good civil conduct, and I want to thank Director Rosen for reminding me of this. And these rules are the following. No one speaks without being explicitly recognized by the chair. No one should speak over or interrupt whoever is speaking. With either a name on a stack or point of order, request for information or objection or anything else. Wait for a pause. Also, everyone, please consider the actual value or relevance of their point or request before making it. Also, from here on, do not just barge in to announce yourself if you join after the call. Listen and wait for a pause. And the other thing is, if you have a question for a board member, address that question to the chair. Do not address a question directly to another board member. And if we follow those few simple rules of good conduct, we will have much more successful and better meetings, and nerves a little less frayed than they were at our last meeting. So that's what I have to say. Okay, so let's go on with the agenda.
Mr. Chair, may I add one? This is John Tatum.
Sure, Mr. Tatum. Go ahead.
All board members should keep their phones on mute unless they are in preparation for speaking. So mostly keep the phone, all phones on mute. Thank you.
Good. Good point.
Mr. Chair, may I be recognized, Mansour?
Yes, Mansour, what is it?
Sure. This is the last week of fund drive, so I might be cutting in and out or dropping off and coming back on. So I'm just warning you that I'm in the phone room and answering pledges. So I might be dropping off and back on.
Okay, we understand. Thank you. Okay, the first item of business is the election of a chair pro tem. Do we have any nominations?
James for Alex Steinberg.
Oh, go ahead.
James?
Yeah, I heard that you nominated myself.
I apologize for not waiting to be recognized, and I just did it again. Sorry.
Yes, you did. Are there any other nominations? Okay, seeing no other nominations, are there any objections to Alex Steinberg being the chair pro tem for this meeting?
Mansoor would like to be recognized.
Yes.
I am present and not voting on the chairship, secretary, vice chair, and all that. Thank you.
Okay. Madam Secretary, could you just a minute so that Mr. Sabag is marked as present and not voting for all three officers tonight? Thank you. The next item of business is the election of a vice chair pro tem. Do we have any nominations?
This is Lawrence. May I be recognized, Chair?
Yes, Lawrence.
Yes, I'd like to nominate Dwayne Lark.
Okay. Mr. Lark, do you accept? Mr. Lark?
Yes, I accept.
Thank you. Do we have any other nominations?
Bill?
Yes, Bill?
I'd like to nominate Jan Goodman.
Okay. Ms. Goodman, do you accept the nomination?
Sure, why not?
Okay. Do we have any further nominations? Okay. Then, Madam Secretary, let's go to a vote for the vice chair pro tem position. Just respond either Dwayne or Jan.
Okay. Grace Aaron votes for Dwayne. Robin Collier. Ms. Corey. Bill Crozier.
Jan.
Okay. Rhonda Garner, Donald Goldmacher, Jan Goodman,
Jan,
Sabrina Jacobs, Wally James, Dwayne Lark,
Dwayne,
okay, Martha Peterson, Juan Pinchback,
Dwayne.
Okay. Ralph Pointer.
Dwayne.
Okay. Lawrence Reyes.
Dwayne.
Okay. John Rhodes.
Dwayne.
Right. Eileen Rosen.
Dwayne.
Okay. Mansoor Sabah.
Jan.
Okay. James Sagerton.
Dwayne.
Okay. Nancy Sorden.
Dwayne.
Okay. Tom Voorhees. I think he's here. All right. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 for Dwayne. We have 1, 2, 3 for Jan. We have 1 abstention. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I'll vote for Dwayne.
Okay. So the final count is 10 for Dwayne, 3 for Jan, 1 abstention. Dwayne is reelected vice chair.
Okay. The next item then is the election of a secretary pro tem. Do we have any nominations?
James.
Yes, James.
I'd like to nominate Grace Aaron.
Ms. Aaron, do you accept the nomination?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have any other nominations? Okay, seeing no other nominations, do we have any objections besides the one already noted from Mr. Sabag? Okay. Then Grace Aaron is once more the Secretary Pro Tem. The next item of business is excused absences. On that matter, I just want to inform the board that I got a call from Tom Voorhees. He said he may possibly get on the call, but he's feeling rather ill, and he may not, and he would like an excused absence. So that's what I can tell you about Mr. Voorhees. Are there any other requests for an excused absence? I believe Robin Collier sent an email about an excused absence.
Chair, Nancy? Yes, I did see Robin's email. Also, I heard from Martha Peterson. She said she did not get an agenda for tonight, and so she assumed she's no longer on the board. And so,
she absolutely is still on the board. I don't know why she didn't get an agenda.
Yeah, I don't know either. Anyway,
Mr. Chair,
she's not able to be at the meeting.
Until she finds out she's still on the board, I guess she's just, not coming to the meeting.
Chair, longs to the stack.
Yeah, well, can somebody call Ms. Peterson and inform her that she absolutely is on the board? I don't know if that will change her plans for tonight or not, but she should be informed of that.
I told her that, but she just doesn't know why she didn't get an agenda.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I sent the agenda out to PNB at pacifica.org. I just checked the membership APFTX of the PNB, and it still lists Martha.
The listener. I can call her and tell her.
I also texted Martha about 3:15 or 3:30.
Okay.
On my time. So that would be 6:15 or 6:30.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. Bill. Okay. Lawrence, you want to the floor?
I think Nancy already answered my question. I was going to suggest a phone call to Martha.
Okay. Yeah.
So I will call her.
Okay.
Bill for the stack.
Bill?
I saw an email a few days ago from Donald Goldmacher who said he was ill. So I asked that we excuse him also.
Could you forward that email to the board secretary, please?
Well, if I can find it. Okay. I'll see if I can find it.
Did he send it to the board or to just you?
I think it was just to me. I don't remember. I'll look.
Okay.
But I'd like to ask Sprint for excuse absence for him anyway, because he may not feel like, for calling in.
Lawrence to the Spectre.
Yes, Lawrence.
I have difficulty believing that what Bill just said, because Mr. Goldmacher has been online sending vitriol emails out. So for somebody that's supposed to be sick, I don't understand how they could still send out attacking emails, cursing people out. So I know that might not be in order, but I I'm against the principal motion.
First of all, there's no motion on the floor yet, and second of all, let's not speculate as to people's motives. Okay.
Dwayne, Lark, yep. Request for information.
What is your request for information, Mr. Lark?
Mr. Chair, I would like for the record for clarification as to the official process of asking for an excused absence to a PNB meeting.
I don't know if we have an official process. Basically, if you send us an email or you call one of the board officers or something, that's the way we've been handling it. I don't know if there's any official policy other than that. Madam Secretary, are you aware?
Thank you.
Ron, to the stat.
I just want to ask the secretary if she is aware of any official policy on this. Grace?
Practice has been, from my understanding, the practice has been that absences are only excused for those members who email or contact the one of the officers requesting an excused absence or the entire board. That's my understanding of prior practice.
That's my understanding.
So for clarification purposes, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to ask that question to be clear that it's not the right nor the privilege of another member to ask for an excused absence for another member when they could do it themselves.
That would generally apply, although I could see there may be sometimes circumstances where the member is for some reason or other unable to send an email or something. There might be a few exceptions, but generally yes, I would agree with that. I think Ron
like Mr.
had a
Voorhees
question.
Today.
Yes, I think Ron had a question. Ron?
Yeah, I was just going to make the same point that Dwayne just made, that Mr. Goldmacher did not request to be excused, and it's speculative on Mr. Crozier's part say that he wants to be excused. He doesn't know that, and so I say he should not be excused if he wants to appeal, at a later time, then that's fine. But he didn't request to be excused, so we should not act, on that, and we should treat it as such.
Well, at this point, we need a motion to excuse those who did request to be excused, and we don't have a motion on the floor yet, so would somebody like to make such a motion?
Ralph.
I don't know who was first.
Lawrence.
Okay, go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you, Chair. So I make a motion that we excuse those who requested excuse absences through the proper protocol or the practice that's already established, and that we not excuse Mr. Goldmacher, and I move that he be removed from the board for his excessive absences.
Ralph here.
Okay. We'll mark you down as present, Ralph.
No. Regarding the motion.
Hold on. I'd like to ask our secretary, has Mr. Goldmacher had three consecutive unexcused absences?
There was a meeting a couple of meetings ago when a motion was passed to excuse all absences. I would have to look through my notes to verify.
Chair, this is Lawrence. I got a point of information about that.
What is your point of information?
So I was the one that made that motion, and I specifically did not include Mr. Goldmacher. because of his successive absences. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I guess we'd have to get the language. Again. We'd have to get the language, the exact language of the motion, I guess. Madam Secretary, do you have that, or
I don't have it to hand, but it was from the last meeting, and it was moved by Bill Crozier to excuse all absences, and that passed without objection. I think it was because there was some difficulty with the announcement of the meeting or something, or the phone line. I don't remember exactly, mm-hmm. but that was the last meeting. So all absences were excused. So Mr. Goldmacher does not have three unexcused absences in a row.
Okay.
Bill,
can we yes, Mr. Crozier.
Yeah, Grace is correct. The reason was, the main reason was because the meeting was, a cancellation notice was sent out, and then it was uncanceled, and some people didn't see that, the uncancellation. So they thought the meeting was canceled. That's why the attendance was rather low also.
Okay, well, we have a motion on the floor, but we do not have a second.
It was Ralph here.
Yes, Ralph.
Two motions. There were two motions. It was, instead of one motion, it was two motions in the sentence of one. Excuse absences, and then Mr. Goldmacher. So why don't we just cut it down to one motion at a time?
Okay, that's a motion to divide. I'm just saying, did we get a second? Madam Secretary, did we get a second to Lawrence's motion? I don't recall that.
We did not.
Lawrence's motion needs a second before we go on.
Dwayne, second.
Okay.
This is Lawrence.
Parliamentarian would like to be recognized.
Yes, Mr. Tatum.
The second part of that motion might be out of order. I say that because your bylaws state that three consecutive absences, a person is automatically off the board. You would not need a motion to put a person off of the board. So it would be up to the secretary to do the research and come back to the board and let them know X person has three absences, and you handle it from there. So the fact that it is not known at this point whether there were three unexcused absences in a row, the motion at this point would be out of order, because I'm saying you don't have to make a motion. You really don't have. It's automatic from the bylaws, and the research has to be done. Thank you.
Right. Okay. Anyway, we do have a motion to excuse the absence of Tom Voorhees and Robin Collier. I'm interpreting the motion. That's not the exact language, but that's what it amounts to. And we have a second. And let's go. Let's. Are there any objections?
Chair,
to?
Chair, this is Lawrence. Might be recognized.
Yes, Lawrence.
Thank you. So I think my motion is, I agree with Mr. Tatum that it's out of order, because Mr. Goldmacher was excused. So he doesn't have the requisite absences unless Grace goes back and investigates that and come back to the board and report as to Mr. Goldmacher's attendance history.
That's correct, but we still have a motion that we need to deal with to excuse the absence of those who requested an excused absence.
That's right. Okay.
Okay. So, are there any?
I second that motion.
It's already been seconded. But
oh, you're
anyway,
okay.
Are there any objections? Okay. then let it be noted that Robin Collier and Tom Voorhees are excused for tonight's meeting.
Wally James joining the call.
Oh, okay. And the next order of business is timekeepers. Who do we have? Would anybody want to volunteer for timekeepers? Come on, somebody volunteer, please.
Nancy, I can be your timekeeper.
Wonderful.
Bill, I'll do topics.
You'll do topics? Okay.
I'll do people.
Okay, terrific. Okay,
Chris,
so the next item on the agenda is the actual agenda approval, and I'll just read the agenda quickly, the draft agenda, that is. Item number two is agenda approval. It's a five-minute item. Item number three is approval of minutes for the February 20th open session. Item number four is a report from the National Election Supervisor and question and answers. That's a 30-minute item. Item number five is a report from the interim executive director. That's a 25-minute item. Item number, we got two fives here. I guess that should be six. Item number six is a brief motion about Pacifica's coverage of the coronavirus. And item number seven is adjournment.
Lawrence, to the stack chair.
Yeah. Before we do anything else, we need a motion to bring forward this agenda.
So moved.
Chair, may I be recognized?
Do we need a second first? Hold on. Do we have a second for the motion to bring the agenda to the body?
I second, Lawrence.
Okay.
Eileen to the stack also.
Eileen to the stack. Okay, hold on. Okay, Eileen, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to see if we could add an item, a two-minute item, just once again on the need for people for the administrative committee on the PNB.
And where would you like to add that item?
Anywhere it can fit. Maybe before, maybe after minutes approval, just to get it out of the way.
Well, if it's a two-minute item, I don't think there'll be too many objections to that. Do we have a second on that?
Great.
Second, Lawrence.
A second.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bill,
are there any?
You know, are we keeping? This is Bill. May I be recognized?
I request a dispatcher at your leisure, Lawrence.
Okay. Bill goes first, then Lawrence. Go ahead.
Well, I suggest, or I guess I move to amend that to put it after the number four, the NES and Q&A, because we're already keeping them waiting for 11 minutes past the time we were going to let them speak.
Is that okay with you, Eileen?
Yeah, fine with me.
Okay. So, again, we had a second, and are there any objections then to moving that item, two-minute item, to let's call it 4B, it would be after the NES report. Okay, seeing no objections, that
This is Lawrence. Am I being recognized now, Chair?
Lawrence, yes, you may speak.
Thank you. So I'd like to make a motion that we go into executive session in regards to the legal opinion that was just given by our Pacifica Council for discussion and possible ratification of that opinion.
And where would you like to, what point?
Just before adjournment. Maybe 6B.
Okay. So you want to go into executive session for, and then the idea is we'll come back into open session with a report out. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, sir. That's it.
Okay.
Second. Grace, I
there
second.
A second. Okay.
Grace.
Are there any objections? Okay. Seeing none, that item is added. I guess let's call that 6B. Remember, number 5, there's two number 5, so the second number 5 is really a number 6, so that would be 6B. So we go into closed session for 6B. Is there any further discussion about the agenda approval? Seeing no further discussion, are there any objections to approve the agenda as amended? Okay. And the agenda is approved as amended. Item number 3 is the approval of the February 21st, 20th minutes. Are there any corrections to those minutes? Okay, if no one has any corrections at this time, the minutes are approved. You may always send corrections later. The next item is the report from the National Election Supervisor, and I understand she is on the call, and I believe her two helpers might also be on the call. Is that correct?
Goodman is on the call.
Jack Van Aken.
I'm on the call.
And this is Lydia. I just got on a call.
Okay. Renee, the floor is yours. Oh, Renee, are you on the call? Eileen, do you know if Renee is on?
I have a couple of unidentified numbers. I don't know whose numbers they are. One ends in 1828, and the other ends in 7241.
Well,
I don't know whose phone numbers those are.
You have two inspectors on the call, so maybe you don't have Renee.
Okay, that must be you guys, right. Probably
well,
not Renee, then.
Yeah, the report is from Renee. She needs to be on the call. Can somebody call her if she's not on the call?
Yeah, I can call her.
Inspector Goodman has a report prepared if you'd like to use the time.
I just called.
Let's wait a minute to see if she gets on the call. If there's going to be a delay, we'll be glad to hear your report, Mr. Goodman.
Mr. Chair, the parliamentarian would like to speak.
Mr. Tatum.
Yes, I just wanted to commend the directors on following the standing rules and also using the muting of their phones very effectively. I don't hear the background noise that we normally experience. So I just would like to commend the members for a very good meeting so far.
Well, thank you, Mr. Tatum. I don't know what the delay is with the National Election Supervisor getting on the call. We have Mr. Goodman said he has a report. Does Mr. Van Aken also have a report?
I can report.
Okay. Hello,
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I don't know how to frame this, but can we delay this and put maybe accept Lydia's report first? Give them time to, you know, work this out with the election supervisor. Getting those two reports without getting that overall view from her. It's, you know, that's a problem. So I would like to ask, could we consider putting Lydia's report ahead of this, giving us time to reach the election supervisor and see if we can work that out. If we can't, then we can get everything.
That's a motion. Okay, that's been seconded. If that requires a two-thirds vote because we've already adopted an agenda.
This is Lydia, Mr.
Yeah.
Chair. Yeah, when you call Renee, because I was just texting her, or she was texting me just minutes before I got on. So I'm wondering if she got the number and the new code, because I hadn't had it since I'm not on the board. So until Jan sent it to me right now. So just whoever's contacting Renee to do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't give you an answer to that. But anyway, there's a motion.
I did send it out and in an email. So I believe that Jack and Terry got shortly before the meeting.
Mr. Chair.
Well, we have a motion on the floor. Unless Renee comes on in the next minute, I think we do have a motion on the floor to change the agenda so that the IED report goes first. So are there any objections to that change in the agenda?
Yes, I have.
Request for information.
First, I need to know if there are any objections to that.
Well,
the agenda.
I have a request for information that before I can answer that.
What is your request for information?
Can Jack and Terry wait? Are they able to wait?
Terry can wait.
Jack can wait.
Thank you.
Okay. So, are there any objections? Okay, seeing no objections, then that we'll put the IED report first, and that's a 25-minute item, and then we will go to the report from the National Election Supervisor. So, Lydia, you now have the floor.
I was right. I was just checking my last text to her because she had asked what time the meeting was. But anyway.
And let me just explain that we're dividing up your report into sections so that the various topics you may wish to report on actually get covered.
Mm-hmm.
So the The sections are briefly report on the national election coverage, a report on station fund drive and other financial matters, a report on banking and administrative update, a report on the KPFA building property tax situation, and a report on other national office news. So go ahead, Lydia.
Oh, okay.
Hi, I just want to let you know I'm on just...
Oh, is that Renee?
I thought for some reason it was 6:30. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, let Renee go because that's more important.
Yeah. Okay. So actually,
Hold on. We have to do this properly. I'm sorry. Because we have to change the agenda again. Do we have a motion then to go original agenda order?
So moved.
Do we have second?
Second.
Are there any objections? Okay, so we're going back to the original agenda order. Renee, the floor is yours.
Okay, great. So I'm actually just about to send out via email my report. That's what I was working on. I thought it was 6:30. So maybe what I should do is... Anyway, it's coming to everybody's like right now. So, is the best way to send this just to the general email string that is the most efficient way to do that?
To pnd@pacifica.org should get to everyone here.
Oh, to everyone. Okay. So just to that one. Okay, good. So I'm going to send that.
And add ed@pacifica.org. Renee.
Okay. I'm
not on the payment.
And ED. Okay. So that's coming everybody's way. Report number two. Boom. Okay. It's there. So I'll start. I'm very sorry. I don't know why. I was sitting here at my computer and I thought it was at 6:30. So, okay. So basically just going through, this brief report. So the timeline is unchanged, which is good. Some process updates. Terry and Jack have joined me as election supervisors, and together we've been working really well. We've developed new CART scripts and developed different there's some campaign violations, so we're responding to those. And also they've transcribed the two unauthorized on-air bylaws discussions, which are now posted on the elections website. And I don't know if either Terry and Jack want to take a couple of minutes and introduce themselves, or if you have already. Okay. okay. So anyway, moving on. So in terms of how the balloting is going, I know a burning question is how many ballot requests are coming in. So to date, I have approximately responded to 1,600 ballot requests. 81 approximately are for e-ballots and 19% for paper. Of those, there's 157 duplicates. And of those, there's about 1,300 that are on the member rolls. So removing the duplicates from all of the total number, there approximately 90% of all requests are from members already on the member rolls. The additional 10% are about half second household members, which they get left off because, you know, the stations don't necessarily record a second or even third person. At KPFK, I think they're the only station that does that systematically in their system, and the remaining 5% of members can be left off for any number of reasons. It seems quite random, actually. And the number of ballot requests that I've gotten via phone, there are approximately 100 phone calls, and a lot of those people actually have internet access, so there is a problem here, and I don't know if people are pushing the phone number, but I would really recommend not pushing the phone number and giving it only to people that really, really don't have internet access, because it just clogs up the system for me to be able to give those people who really need help special attention. So if everybody here, is pushing for people or just to get that message out there, essentially. In terms of the carts on the air, 11 carts in English have been produced to date and 8 Spanish carts. And we're planning on making more carts. And I just wanted to let you know also that there have been a lot of responses collected from that initial survey. And I'll provide all the raw data in the final report. In terms of the debates, KPFK confirmed today, last night, that we're going to have 2 on-air debates back-to-back, 1 in English, 1 in Spanish. The Spanish one will be simultaneously translated by 2 simultaneous translators, and that'll be Monday the 9th from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. and 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. There's a staff debate scheduled from 7 to 9 p.m. At KPFA, and we'll record everything, so that can be shared. And then I'm planning on pre-producing debates at KPFA on Tuesday. And, that's that. And in terms of the current voter turnout, we've met quorum already, so that's good. And numbers are still climbing, so we're at 11.7% for listener turnout and 30.1% for staff. And that's about it from my end. So.
Okay.
Ron, to the staff.
We can take some questions to the National Election Supervisor, and I believe the assistants have their own reports, but they let's wait on that until we go through some questions. So, Ron,
James for a question after Ron.
Okay.
Hi, Chair. Okay, thank you. You mentioned the debate. But you didn't mention anything about KPFT, BAI, or PFW.
So I'm actually talking to Katia tomorrow. We're going to talk at midday, so 3 p.m. her time. To basically, she's going to help with organizing there, and also KPFT, the manager at KPFT, Don is going to. Don Boney, right? Is that his name? I'm going to give him a call also. The thing is, we just basically the debate protocol, I wanted to get it out to everybody before, having any type of discussion at all, because things will be much clearer and more organized. So now I actually, I have this protocol to rely on and to help clarify how they can facilitate. So my understanding is that KPFT and WPFW management is supportive of the process, and they're going to help organize the debate. WBAI, I actually am surprised I haven't heard back from anybody there, because typically, there hasn't been an issue with organizing a debate, but I have to call Berthold, I guess.
May coincide. It may be a co-effort with BAI, since our signal areas are so
far. Okay. Okay,
so
that would be good.
I'm sure there'll be some collaboration there.
Okay.
And thank you.
Okay. Yeah, no problem.
Okay, I think James was next.
Thank you. I wanted to know if you have any information that you're willing to make available about the breakdown of the two classes of voters, what stations they're coming from.
So can you clarify what do you mean?
Sure.
Oh, you mean in terms of email versus paper?
No. I meant by classification, I meant staff and listener. I was just wondering how many staff have voted from each station and how many listeners have voted from each station.
Oh, I see. That's a really good question, and I can do that breakdown. Give me 1 second. I can probably do it while answering another question, so I'm not holding anybody up. But actually, let me, if you give me just 1 second, I can just run that. It'll be approximate because let's see. Okay, wait. Sorry. You know what? I can't answer that immediately without. Well, I can give you the approximate for the listeners immediately, and then the staff. I just need to open up another file to get that information for you. But the breakdown by station is, let's see, it's about 29% from KPFA, 32% from KPFK, 10% from KPFT, 13% from WPFW, and 14% from WBAI. That's in terms of how much of the that's the total. Okay, no, that's just the total breakdown of how many each members. Sorry. Let me repeat myself. So, of those who have voted, cast their vote, and remember, this doesn't include people that cast their paper ballots. This is all based on internet because I don't have real time, They're in envelopes. They don't get opened up until the day that day after the election closes. So that's this is approximation. So about 40% of those people who have voted come from KPFA. 20% come from KPFK. 10% KPFT. 17% from WPFW, and 13%. From 17% from WDAI and 13% from WPFW. So actually, the tricky thing here is because they're overall more voters at the other stations, like KPFA, KPFK. The two numbers to compare here to see if there's essentially if one station is carrying most of the votes compared to the others are like. You compare the percent of total voters, like, for example, take KPFA, we're at 29%, right, of total voters, and they make up 40% of those who have voted. So KPFA is definitely, quote-unquote, disproportionately carrying the vote, whereas KPFK is disproportionately undervoting, and you can tell that because they are 30% of the total, and you're comparing that to basically the 20% or so of votes cast. KPFT is about equal. It's about 10% of total and 10% of total votes cast. WBAI actually is about 14% of total, is 17% of total votes cast. So they're actually, quote unquote, voting a little bit more, right? So that's whatever conclusions you want to draw from that. And WPFW is about equivalent. We have 14%. They comprise 14% of the total votes, and they comprise 13% of those who have cast their vote so far. And I can send this breakdown if you want, so that. Or include it, actually. It's probably better if I just include it in the report and post it online, but to explain a little bit. Does that make sense? People? Like, why I made that distinction?
Yeah. It did make sense, but I would appreciate it if you would send it out as we were back and forth a little bit on the categories. So, it was hard to take notes, but I appreciate it.
Yeah. So what I'll do is I'll just send this sort of raw. Oh,
let's see. Let me send my raw. So these are just raw numbers, and basically the station 1 is KPFA, station 2 is KPFK, station 3 is KPFT, station 4 is WBI, station 5 is WPFW, and where you see a little dot, it's just because in basically the election manager database, those are the people that weren't assigned a station, but that doesn't mean that they don't belong to a station. It just means in this database that I pulled basically directly from the election manager, they just don't have that filled out. So you can ignore that. It's a very small number anyway. Anyway, I just sent that to everybody.
Okay, Chair, this is Lawrence. May I have the floor? Chair? Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was muted. Yes, Lawrence, I'm putting you on the stack. Is there anybody else?
I asked to be on the stack right after James. And you said, I don't know if you're writing people down, but you should. Because I asked for the stack right after James.
But okay, I stand corrected. I just want to ask if there's anybody else who wants to be on the stack at this point. Okay, I'm going to put myself on the stack then. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Renee, for all your hard work, and Terry and Jack for helping you. So my question, I have two questions. First, that you do provide the raw data that you can, and that you also post it on online so the listeners could have access to it. Then the second question is in regards to the fair campaign provisions. You said that there have been some violations. Are those violations from staff or listeners? You don't have to say who.
This is mostly listeners there's been a mixed bag, really. But I am planning on posting the response, all the complaints and the responses. Tomorrow.
Okay, do you find them that they were egregious and that they should have standing, those complaints? I don't know if you could give me an opinion, but
there hasn't. I mean, honestly, there hasn't been any. I don't think there has been any really bad ones. But this is probably a question for all three of us because, this has actually been what we've been working on as a team. I personally don't think that there have been huge violations that would really, really sway.
On-air violations from programmers?
Well, I mean, there was the airing of these two,
after that.
Discussions.
Because I know that there was one, I'm not going to say where, but there was one that was in complete violation of the programmer's handbook and also the fair campaign provisions. I was wondering if you got that complaint.
Which one? Sorry?
One at KPFK. Okay, I'll say it. One at KPFK where there was a blatant on-air form and almost form and an advocation towards one particular site.
I don't think I've gotten that one. I don't think anybody filed that. I haven't been made aware of it.
Okay, so I'll follow up with you. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, and just remember that. So there is a process to make sure that I see anything that these complaints by filing an election complaint essentially, and it's basically like one of the first lines on the homepage, you'll see a link to file an election complaint. And that way there's a record of everything and exactly what time. And then I see them, because oftentimes like the email just gets so full of you know, I don't see them all the time. So, but I haven't seen anything.
Okay, I'll follow up with the person that informed me. Thank you for your time. I don't know if Terry and Jack have had anything.
Okay, yeah. Renee, I have a question for you, and it's kind of along the same topic that Lawrence just opened up. I don't know if you've received it yet or not, but I understand there has been a complaint about what I think is a pretty big violation, and that is that there was a mailer or some an email blast or something sent out by a group supporting a yes vote at KPFA, and they made a false claim in their email blast that claimed that the KPFA LSB supported a yes vote, when in fact the KPFA LSB voted by a margin of 12-4, I believe, for a no vote. Have you received that complaint? And if so, if you believe that is a valid complaint, what would be an appropriate penalty?
So we did receive it. I don't know if Terry or Jack want to speak on it, since you actually really looked at it and developed responses. Terry in particular, do you want to speak?
Am I recognized?
Yes, please.
Okay, the way we're handling all of these complaints is that all the inspectors can state their opinions on the validity of the complaint. On this particular one, we're not sure we have authority because the email did not use Pacifica resources and the website does not use Pacifica resources. My opinion as an inspector was that the website and email are deceptive, and there is an easy remedy if they change the language. What's happened is that members of the LSB have presumably changed their mind, and that could be communicated in a non-deceptive manner by saying that a majority of the delegates at KPFA now favor the proposal. But it is improper to say that a majority of the LSB has any position other than the position that has been voted on at a meeting.
What about the damage this false statement may have done in terms of the election process? It may have convinced some people to vote one way when they would have voted another way had they been told the facts.
But we're not sure that the inspectors have jurisdiction over private websites and private email blasts.
Jack, do you want to speak on this as well?
If I could be recognized. Yeah, I concur entirely with Terry's analysis. I think that the talking point is misleading, and the problem that I saw with our seeking a remedy is that it's outside of our control unless they're using Pacifica resources. So I concur with Terry on that. Also, I think that if that's going to be a talking point that comes up, we can be on the alert for it. If it does come up, say, in the debates which are coming forward, I think the moderators should be on the alert for that one. If somebody says, oh, the KPFA is on the yes side, we should say, well, we can clarify that, you know, what the real deal is and what you're trying to say, et cetera. But beyond that, it's not a case. I mean, we've had cases where people have used Pacifica email lists
to advocate one way or the other, and then we try to provide the other side with the same venue to present their case. There are some cases that are very clear, and then there are some sort of gray areas, and this is you know, a gray area where it's not clear how we could provide a remedy, but we are certainly alert to that argument going forward, and it's I don't think we have any disagreement that it's problematic, say the least.
Lawrence to the stack.
Nancy to the stack. I don't know if you heard me before, but I have to be on the stack.
Dwayne to the stack. Chair, are you there?
Sorry, I was muted again. Yeah, let's take Nancy. She hasn't been heard from yet.
You could put me at the end of the set because Dwayne hasn't been heard either, so I'll be after him.
Okay.
Go ahead, Nancy. Thank you. I have two questions. One was about the emails being sent out to members by various people that have email lists. I have been forwarded emails from people that have supposedly gotten these flyers that were supposedly sent to all members, but they were never sent to me, although I did get a ballot. So I'm wondering how come I didn't get these flyers from either opponent.
It's interesting because a lot of people have told me the contrary, actually, that they're, you know, when they're asking for their ballots, you know, oh, I got the mailers, but why didn't I get my ballot? So I honestly don't know. So are you talking about getting the e-campaigns or the actual physical ballot? Or sorry, physical
No, I'm talking about the campaign, the you know, email
the,
from the
campaign.
From the
right.
opponent or from the opponent, yeah.
Well, so there's a tricky thing, and maybe actually Terry can chime in about this, that for some reason some servers, you know, basically the recipient server will filter out certain messages, and it's not entirely clear to me why this happens, but... That's probably why you're not getting the e-campaign. They've somehow been flagged as spam or just not at all, you know, or just put on a blacklist and it's not getting through. So, Terry, do you want to comment at all on that?
Yeah, different web mail services have their own unique anti-spam filters, and they look at the characteristics of an email message in determining whether or not it's spam and filter in if anyone has complained about it. So a message that has multiple recipients is automatically suspicious. And of course, if a campaign is mounted by somebody to flag things as spam, which aren't, then that can skew certain email servers.
Oh, you're suggesting that my email server may have put it in the spam folder.
Yeah,
it's possible, especially if you have a major provider.
All right, I'll check that. The other question that I had was about, I guess it's similar to a misleading message being put out, and that was when the petition was sent around originally to get the 1% of the people to, you know, to sign the petition. It basically said if you would like to support this petition going to a vote to the PNB, you know, please sign this petition. And then it also said if you support this effort to have it go to a vote, you know, sign this you know, let us know if we can use your name, okay? And so now people that let their name be used for signing that petition are on an endorsers list, which says that they support the petition, that they support the bylaw changes, when in fact the petition said that they were just supporting sending it for a vote, not whether or not they were going to vote yes or no. And I have spoken to people who have told me that they, you know, I asked them, I said, you know, your name is on this list as supporting this bylaw changes, and they said, no, I only supported sending it to a vote. I didn't decide whether I wanted to vote yes or no on it. But there their name is on the list of endorsers endorsing the petition.
Right. I am aware of this, and I did look on the website, and they do, you know, it's not ideal that they put, you know, people's names that actually signed the petition to go to a vote right beneath the actual endorsers. But they do write, I can actually even pull it up. I mean, it is written on there that let's see, let me just find it. If I can find the, does anybody know the URL offhand? I know that it's written right before, specifically indicating where that, you know, what the list corresponds to. I know that, yeah, if people aren't reading super closely, they might assume, but it is written in black and white right there what that list corresponds to. So I really.
Okay. I know what you're talking about. Okay. So that one is.
What's the
specific restructuring? Wait a minute.
Restructuring.
Rescue Pacifica.
Project. There it is. Okay.
Rethinkingpacifica.org is the best way to find it.
Mr. Crozier, you were not recognized.
I'm sorry. Could I be recognized as a timekeeper?
Yeah, so it says clearly here, below are more of the people who said we can publicly use their names as supporters of this bylaws reform effort. It does not say, you know, that they're in support. They're not, you know, I mean, I don't, that they're in support of a reform, but not necessarily of, saying, you know, they're not necessarily proponents of the proposed bylaws. I mean,
well, it's shifted more to the, it's shifted more to wording to suggest they are endorsing.
Mr. Chair, I have a motion.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know. I guess
hang
I
on
should,
time.
I Bill, time for wants to report.
Chair Dwayne Lark, I have a motion.
Yeah, Mr. Lark, go ahead.
We're at time.
I move to extend 10 minutes.
I second Chair Lawrence.
Okay. Are there any objections to extending 10 minutes?